Glad that you're here this evening, and appreciate especially those that are visiting with us. Thank you for your attendance, and I hope that you will be attentive to the things that we have to say and to consider this evening. I guess as a young person, as a teenager, spent a lot of time on a team of some sort from time to time. And I can remember it often being said that there is no I in team. One person does not make the team. Even if you're Michael Jordan or LeBron James, I'm trying to think of his name. Without the others, they are not going to be successful. And that's an important thing to remember. That's an important thing for us as Christians to remember. In Luke 11 and in verse 17, it says that Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, "A kingdom divided against itself is laid waste. A house divided against itself falls." Now, I don't know if you have ever heard the story about everybody, anybody, somebody, and nobody. But apparently there was a job that anybody or that everybody could do, a job that anybody could have done, that a job that everybody somebody should have done, but a job that nobody did. A team that works that way fails. When that happens, they are unsuccessful. They're not going to win the job or the game or whatever it may be that they're trying to do. When there's a job to be done and nobody does it, the team fails. When there's a job to be done and the church doesn't do it, the church fails. And that's an important thing for us to think about as I think we should see ourselves in this way, that we are a team. And that we are to work together in that way. In fact, you remember that the Lord said that it's not good to be alone, didn't he? Way back in the beginning of Genesis, like in chapter 2 and in verse 18, didn't he say that it was not good for man to be alone? And so he was going to make a helper suitable for him? Yeah. It's not good to be alone. It's better to be together. It's better to work together. In fact, in Ecclesiastes 4 and verses 9 through 12, Ecclesiastes 4 verses 9 through 12 says that two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. For if either of them falls, the one will lift up his companion, but woe to the one who falls when there is not another to lift him up. Furthermore, if two lie down together, they keep warm. But how can one be warmed alone? And if one can overpower him who is alone, two can resist him. A cord of three strands is not quickly torn apart. The emphasis on the idea of togetherness and working together, unity, that helps us in times of difficulty and in times of good. In Proverbs 27 and verse 17, the proverb writer says that iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. We are able to encourage and strengthen each other in this life. And I think it's an important thing for us to recognize that I by myself am not the church. We are a collective. In fact, we have been added together in one body, into this one team, to work for the Lord, to be successful in that work, in doing the things that the Lord would have us to do. In fact, I believe that the basic work of the church is to teach others, to teach the lost and to teach the saved what they need to do to stay saved. In Acts 2 and verse 47, and the King James Version says they were praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord was adding to the church daily such as should be saved. The Lord adds us to this team. He adds us to this body, to this church, to assist it in accomplishing His purposes. In fact, in Ephesians 1 and in verses 22 and 23, again, we have the emphasis on the body being the church. Ephesians 1 and verses 22 and 23. And he put all things in subjection under his feet, that is Christ, and gave him, that is Christ, as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Colossians 1, in Colossians 1 and in verse 18, first of all, he is also head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. Notice here the idea, it's not about me being first place, but that Christ is first place. Then down in verse 24, now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I do share on behalf of his body, which is the church, in filling up what is lacking in Christ's affliction. Paul talking about his hardships and those things that fills up his work in Christ. And the idea, again, is that we have been added to this body for a purpose. And that purpose is to serve Christ. We talked a little bit about the idea of service in class this morning. Again, the idea we are put in this body for the purpose of serving the Lord. In Romans 7 and verse 4, it says, therefore, my brethren, you also were made to die to the law through the body of Christ, so that you might be joined to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we might bear fruit for God. Now, he was talking about the relationship of a man and woman, but he makes the point that we also, or they're talking about Israelites, were made to die to the law. We're not under the Ten Commandment law. We're not under the law of Moses. We're under the law of Christ now. Why? So that we might bear fruit for God. Here's our purpose. Here's what this team is working on. It is bearing fruit, being successful in serving the Lord and providing those things that are necessary so that others may grow and be strengthened in the truth, so that they might know what the truth is. We live in a society, we live in a world that is lost without Christ. And they don't realize how lost they are because they think they have Christ. You just think about it. Listen to the individuals talk. And they all sound like they are Christians. They talk about being Christians and they go, well, some of them go to church. Go somewhere to church. And worship with individuals. Some kind of worship. But I'm afraid many of them are not what God wants. In Matthew 7 and verses 13 and 14, notice there that Jesus says that there are two ways in life. One leads to life and one leads to destruction. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. It's really a sad thing, isn't it? That there are a lot of people in the world who have been deceived by false teachers into believing that they're okay with God and that God's okay with them. This passage is talking about some of those individuals. It is our responsibility as the body of Christ, as God's team on the ground, in society, to share the gospel, to help these individuals. Notice there, he says there's a gate that's wide, that it's a broad way that leads to destruction. You can go down that way without any resistance at all. It's kind of like getting in a boat in the river and flowing downstream. Doesn't take any effort at all to go along with the stream, does it? That's that way that leads to destruction. But to row upstream against the current takes all kinds of effort. If you stop, you start going backward, don't you? That's the narrow gate. It's going to be difficult. You can't get into heaven with any of your sins. You can't bring any baggage to heaven. You've got to leave it behind. And a lot of individuals in this world do not realize that, do not understand that, because they have not been taught those things. We've been added to this body. In fact, one of the purposes that the body provides is to help us mature. Again, look at Ephesians, this time in the fourth chapter. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4 and verses 11 through 16. Notice here what Paul says God has done to help this maturity. This is what God has done so that we might mature in this body. And he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are to no longer be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Notice in this last verse, although all of these things God has provided so that we might mature, notice that there is an emphasis on us working together, which every joint supplies. We are for whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, every one of us is to supply something. Which one are we? Everybody, anybody, somebody, or nobody? For the proper working of each individual part. Cheryl's going to take her car in on Tuesday to get her oil changed. She says, I know they're going to say something to me about it squealing. Now, you'll remember some time ago we changed the alternator, and apparently there's a difference between the pulley we put on there and the pulley that came off of there. And so that belt squeals an awful lot. Sometimes a lot, sometimes not so much a lot. But it's going to make a noise, and they're going to want to fix something, right? Because there appears to be something wrong. Each part is to supply something. If I'm not supplying what I should be supplying, then the body is hindered. Just like that alternator or belt or whatever it is making noise, squealing. That body that Christ has given us, that we've been put into, we've been added to, is to help us mature in Christ, to become like Christ. And we're to work together in that body. In fact, in Hebrews 10 and in verse 24, I think it's one of the passages we used this morning in the sermon. Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. That one another, that's the team, that's the body. We are to stimulate one another, each other, We're to encourage, strengthen, excite each other about doing the work of the Lord, to love and to good deeds. In 1 Peter 4 and verse 10, Peter writes, "As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." Again, notice, each one has received, as we have received whatever gift we may have, we're to use it. But notice what we're to use it for, employing it in serving one another. I'm to be concerned about you going to heaven. And I'm going to do, this passage tells me that I need to do those things to help you get there, and you're going to do the same for me. Together we will accomplish these things. And this shows us to be good stewards of the manifold grace of God. We're fellow workers. Again, like I said, there's no I in team. We're fellow workers. Philippians 4 and verse 3 says, "Indeed, true comrade, I ask you also to help these women who have shared my struggle in the cause of the gospel, together with Clement also and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are written in the book of life." Paul here is telling the Philippians to encourage or to help with these women who apparently have some kind of difficulty. They both have shared with him or worked with him in the carrying out of the gospel or sharing the gospel, that struggle that he has been involved in. And also Clement. And notice then he says, "And the rest of my fellow workers," these also were fellow workers. These three individuals were fellow workers, but there were others as well. We are fellow workers in the kingdom of God. Our name should be written in the book of life. Carrying out the work. And we do this together. We strive together. Our effort is to be together with Christ. In 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 1, "And working together with Him, we also urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain." Working together with Christ to accomplish what He would have us to accomplish, what he wants us to accomplish. In Philippians 1 and verse 27, Paul writes, "Only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I may hear that you are standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." He's talking here to the Philippians, that you here in Philippians 2 or 1:27 is the Philippians, but it also would include us today, that we would be standing firm in one spirit. The idea of standing firm is not to be moved. My feet are glued in place. I am not going to move off the gospel of Christ. That we have one mind, that we are united together. One mind, striving together, putting that effort in. Kind of like tug of rope, right? Satan is on that side and we're on this side and we are struggling against, right? We're going to put in the effort to overcome Satan because we're working together. You've got to work together. You've got to pull together to accomplish these things. In Romans 15 and verse 30, again Paul writes, "Now I urge you, brethren, by your Lord Jesus Christ," or by our Lord Jesus Christ, "and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God for me." Here he's asking these Romans to be praying for him. Notice how he says it though, that you strive together with me in your prayers. Put effort in with me. In praying for my labor in Christ. That's what we ought to be doing for Jeff, isn't it? We ought to be praying for his struggle and his effort for Christ and sharing the gospel as we all attempt to accomplish those same things. And it's important for us to recognize that every person is important. Every person is needed. Even the guy sitting on the bench is needed, isn't he? You don't know when somebody may be injured in the game and have to come out, and you'll have to go in and take his place. You've got to be ready to take his place. That's why you're on the bench. Well, other than the fact that you weren't good enough to be in them. But that doesn't matter. That doesn't matter here. The fact is, you've got to have the man on the bench too. They're needed because sometimes things happen and somebody's got to step up. And I can't think of the number of times that somebody who was on the bench stepped up, and because of him stepping up or her stepping up, the team was victorious. Those people on the bench, those who don't seem to be as important as those who are on the field, are important. And we need to remember that. And notice there in 1 Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians 12, and verses 20 through 25. But now there are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the hand to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow much more abundant honor, and our less presentable members become much more presentable. Whereas our more presentable members have no need of it, but God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Notice the togetherness. Notice that every individual member of the body is important. That God, notice here in verse 24, but God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacks. God has composed this body. He put us into it. We've been adopted into His family. He's the one who gives honor. And so, that there be no division in the body. Not to think more highly of yourself than you ought to think, but to think with lowliness. Philippians 2 in particular, beginning in verse 2. That very idea being that we're to be like Christ, to have the same attitude that Christ had. Not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. Here's the God who created us. Come and lived among us, died on a cross. He certainly had the right to be higher than any of us, but He lowered Himself for us. And if we are His servants, how can we do any less than He has done? Let's just look at that passage there in Philippians 2. I guess I had it down here and didn't even think about it. In Philippians 2, beginning in verse 2, Paul says, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Notice the unity here. Same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. And we've got one purpose. Take the gospel to the world. And we need to work at it. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit. I was on Facebook for a few moments today, and somebody was asking, "What destroys a marriage?" I looked at the six or seven responses that he made. They all miss selfishness. I think anything you could put in there, selfishness is the root cause of marriages failing. We are self-centered, ungodly people when we cause a marriage to fail. We are self-centered, empty conceit, thinking too highly of ourselves. But with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest. Now, I want you to notice here, he's not saying we shouldn't look out for our interest, but not to only do that, but also for the interests of others. I should want you to go to heaven and be working for you to go to heaven, just as you would be for me. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of man, being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. That's the kind of people we're to be. That's what kind of team members we're to be in this effort. Again, in Ephesians 4, in fact, the whole entire chapter of Ephesians 4 focuses on the idea of being a united effort, that this should be a united effort on our part. We are the kind of individuals who are going to be united. It says, therefore, I, a prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love. Notice, when you're doing these things, when you're living a life like this, are you not striving to get along with every individual, even those that disagree with you? Absolutely. Humility and gentleness with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love. We need to be tolerant. That does not mean we tolerate sin among us. But we be tolerant with the differences in our thinking and in our attitudes and things like that, that we work together in accomplishing things. Being diligent, that means exerting great effort to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We're to preserve unity peaceably. We are living in a world that is not peaceable, but we should be peaceable. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you're also called, in one hope of your calling, one Lord and one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. And now this express, he ascended. What does it mean except that he also had descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is himself also he who ascended far above all heavens, so that he might fill all things. And then it talks about him giving apostles and prophets and equipping the body, equipping the saints for the work of service and the building up of the body in Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith, being united. We are to be united in this work. What team ever was successful in winning the championship without being united? We will not be successful in entering into heaven without unity in our ranks. In 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10, Paul says, now I exhort you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you may be made complete in the same mind and the same judgment. It takes a lot of work to accomplish that, because you think different than I do, and the ideas I have, you have other ideas. And so we're going to have to work at accomplishing this unity that he's talking about here. All agreeing. I don't even agree with my son on some things that the passages say. But I agree his thoughts are good, and it makes me consider that I might be wrong. And that's the attitude I think we've got to have. I might be wrong. What I have thought about this passage may be wrong. Let me look at it. Let me study it again and make sure that what I'm thinking is the right thing. We should not be divided We should make every effort to be united, that we may be made complete in the same mind and the same judgment. It's going to take effort on every individual's part. And so I would close this evening when just asking this question. Are you helping or hindering the church to be successful in her work? Is your life right with God? If it's not, you have an opportunity tonight to change that. God does not desire that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants us to be saved. He wants all men to be saved. And of course, God's not going to get what he wants because all men are not going to be saved. Again, Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14, Matthew 7 and verses 21 through 23 clearly indicate that not everybody's going to be saved. But you can be saved today. But you have to obey Jesus Christ. That choice is up to you. And maybe you've already done that. You've been saved. You've been baptized into Christ and you've turned your life over to Christ, but some things have come up and you've failed in some way and you need prayers. You need encouragement. You need to repent and correct that thing. If you would, won't you come as we stand and sing?